You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock this afternoon. Plenty to be talking about over the next hour. Our focus this afternoon will be on Liverpool as they look to draw level with Manchester City's all-time record of 18 consecutive wins on the weekend against bitter rivals Manchester United on Sunday. We'll also be talking about Tottenham. Panic stations there. Where does it all go from here? Is Mauricio Pochettino coming towards the end of his reign at Tottenham? We'll also be talking a little bit about Aston Villa as Tyrone Mings is set to make his England debut this evening. We'll be looking ahead to that game in Sofia against Bulgaria tonight. Also looking back at what was a shambolic night for England on Friday night as they lost their first qualifier in a decade. So we'll be previewing all of that. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 702558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Lovesport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to talk about over the next hour. As I said, if you want to get in contact with us, share your views on England's shambolic display against Czech Republic on Friday night, looking ahead to tonight's action, what sort of an 11 should Gareth Southgate go with? Also, any Liverpool, Tottenham fans out there or Aston Villa fans, call us on 0208 70 2558. So we're going to be looking back at England's performance on Friday night, as well as looking ahead to tonight's game in Sofia. Friday night was an absolute shambles. England went down by 2-1 against the Czech Republic. They knew that if they got all 3 points, they'd have secured their place at Euro 2020. But instead, a pretty shambolic and embarrassing display by England. They did take the lead early on through Harry Kane's penalty. But from that moment in, England didn't show any desire. They didn't show any hunger. And they got what they deserved, which was a defeat. And not many people can really look back at that and think that England were hard done by. They head to Sofia tonight, looking to get the job done, get all 3 points. Plenty of changes expected for tonight's game. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But looking back at Friday night's action, it was a pretty poor display. And the England manager, Gareth Southgate, was reflecting on the game and on the defeat. And he says that they will need to find a solution to stop them conceding sloppy goals.
We're always thinking about what's the best way to play to get the best out of our strengths but hide our weaknesses. We've always done that over 3 years. So we've tried various formations. We'll always continue to make those assessments. And the priority is to get a good performance.
Seems to be a little bit of a trend that continues with England conceding goals. They conceded 3 in the last international break in a game against Kosovo down in Southampton. And they conceded twice on Friday night against the Czech Republic, who didn't really cause England any threat in the game at Wembley earlier in the qualifiers. Captain Harry Kane was also giving his views, and he believes that the team will respond with a strong performance tonight in Sofia.
If we win, we're still in a fantastic position going into the last two games. So as players, you always reflect on your own performance, the team performance. How can I do better? How can I help my team? And I think we've all done that. And the only way to show that is going out there and putting in a good performance.
Definitely expecting a better display from England. I think it all stemmed from the moment that the team news was announced, and also echoed, as we'll talk about in just a few moments' time, about the team that's expected to play tonight. So many changes are expected for this game. Maybe that's a a knee-jerk or a reaction to a defeat that you kind of subconsciously feel more tempted to make more changes because of a defeat rather than sticking with a winning side. As I mentioned, it's the first time in a decade that England have lost a qualifier. None of the members of this current squad have ever experienced losing a qualifier. Now, maybe it was because things have got a little bit too easy for England, that when you're in that comfort zone, that comfortable position of playing pretty average to ranked sides, you just become so comfortable with that. I think from the moment that I saw the team, I was so underwhelmed by Gareth Southgate. It reminded me of bad old England in the days of Roy Hodgson, etc., that it just was such an underwhelming side. How on earth can you pick players like Jordan Pickford, Michael Keane at the moment, when they're not only individually in poor form, but their team are in such awful form? Everton are in the bottom three at the moment, conceding goals left, right and centre. How on earth can you justify for the English national side picking those players at the moment? You look at the back four and goalkeeper. Pickford plays for an Everton side that are in the relegation zone. Danny Rose is in and out of a Tottenham side that is in chaos at the moment. Harry Maguire is in a Manchester United team in a dire situation. Michael Keane plays for Everton, again, in a relegation side at this moment in time. That cannot be the case, that England have a back four and goalkeeper that their team form is just so horrendous. And I was just so underwhelmed by that. Yet again, England going with two holding midfielders. And these qualifiers, England don't need it. Now, on the face of it, England conceding goals on a consistent basis perhaps indicates that England do need two holding midfielders. But they really don't. It's counterintuitive. And it's not helping England defensively at all. England needs to be slightly more attack-minded. When you're playing against someone like Brazil or France, then maybe you would go with two holding midfielders, not in qualifiers against the Czech Republic and Bulgaria. We saw it. The midfield didn't work in the last set of qualifiers in the September international break. Why on earth are two holding midfielders going to work yet again in this one? Not many players come out of that with any positivity. Were there any players out there? Did you out there watching on Friday night think that any England player had a good game? We've had some reaction into us, some WhatsApps. Ian and Swindon have said Michael Keane should never play another game in an England shirt. Maybe a little bit drastic, but Michael Keane should be nowhere near this England side at the moment. He should not be playing for England, And I'm not just saying it just because Everton are playing badly, because just because your club might not be playing so well doesn't necessarily mean you should be a million miles away from the national side. But his form in particular has been very, very poor. So I've got no idea how Gareth Southgate justifies selecting him. Danny in Catford suggests Sterling, the only one who came out of that with any credit. Won the penalty, obviously, early doors for Harry Kane, chopped inside and was just scythed down in the penalty area. Didn't think he had a great game. As I mentioned, though, can anyone actually suggest a player that actually did play well in that game? Another critique of Gareth Southgate and of the team, Richard from Sevenoaks. I was near Sevenoaks yesterday, actually watching BTCC at Brands Hatch. And we can't return to 4-3-3, so regressive in tactics. And if we do that, then why not pick Kyle Walker? No strategy or plan B. There have been various people talking about the lack of a plan B from Gareth Southgate, in particular in regard to Friday's game. It's interesting that sort of in the early part of Southgate's tenure, we were going with a back three, this new novel approach, a different type of England, not just trying to copy other nations, but actually looking at a different style of play and going with a different formation. And Southgate just seems to have veered away from that at the moment. Looking at tonight's game, then, obviously it's semi being overshadowed by the situation with James Maddison. Obviously, he pulled out of the England squad ahead of the qualifier in the Czech Republic with an illness. Now, he was pictured in a casino betting while the England game was going on Friday night over in Prague. Now, there's no doubt that Maddison is an idiot for doing that, and he should not be finding himself in the private eye. That is the reality of it, that you just can't get away with these things nowadays as a professional footballer as kind of famous in this country as James Maddison is. He's a professional footballer in the Premier League and everyone knows who he is. And you can't get away with doing that at this level. In particular, disrespectful to his England teammates who are playing in Prague and he's busily betting. Maybe he knew what was coming. He knew that England were going to play awfully on Friday night and that's why he didn't go. However, I do feel like there is a personal vendetta that Gareth Southgate has against James Maddison. And he has been picked in the last few England squads and hasn't played a minute. In the last one in September, didn't play a single minute across those two qualifiers. And there were games that were calling out for James Maddison. He's one of the informed players. He's a superb, creative midfielder. And yet England, who are notorious for not having many of them, don't seem to select these types of players. Will James Maddison play again for England under Gareth Southgate? That's one question that we could ask. Is it going to be a wasted career, potentially? Are we going to see James Maddison be one of those that, at club level, plays at a very high level, but just never seems to either make it or get a go at international football? Plenty of changes are expected tonight in Sofia. Tyrone Mings, the Aston Villa centre-back, is set to make his debut against Bulgaria. He's set to start in place of Michael Keane. But there are so many changes expected tonight, which is kind of quite a lot of self-criticism from Gareth Southgate, that he felt, surely this is a damning indictment of his own selection on Friday night, that he felt that he got it wrong because Trent Alexander-Arnold is coming in for Kieran Trippier, Ben Chilwell in for Danny Rose. I mean, who on earth out there doesn't think that Trent Alexander-Arnold and Ben Chilwell are our best fullback duo by quite some way? They quite clearly are. In midfield, Ross Barkley, unfortunately, might be coming in for Mason Mount, who didn't have a great game, but Mount is playing well at club level ahead of Ross Barkley at Chelsea. Harry Winks is set to come in for Declan Rice, and anyone knows me knows my views on how average a footballer Harry Winks is. He doesn't do anything. He just runs about, passes sideways. Doesn't do anything more than that. Doesn't create goals, doesn't score goals. When Tottenham needs something in a game, he gets hooked after 60 minutes. So I don't really see that being a positive. And also, Marcus Rashford is set to come in for Jadon Sancho. Now, again, a bit like Mount, Sancho didn't have a good game on Friday, but who did? Marcus Rashford is not in very good form and I think is carrying an injury at the moment, so I don't see how that justifies it. It's tempting to make so many changes after a defeat, but this just feels knee-jerk from some of them feel knee-jerk and some of them are changes that he should have kind of not had to make because they should have started in the first game. You're looking at the two fullbacks, Alexander-Arnold and Chilwell, should have 100% started on Friday night, but some of them, like Rashford in for Sancho, just seems like knee-jerk from Friday night. Another one, which is a really interesting one, Leanne Newham, Tammy Abraham being brought on with 5 minutes to go. What is Southgate doing? Big question I want to ask. In Southgate's view, is Harry Kane undroppable? It happened during the World Cup and it's happened since. Harry Kane, it doesn't matter how he plays, Gareth Southgate will not take him off. And I think that's incredibly stubborn and incredibly poor man management. There have been a number of games over the last couple of years that Harry Kane hasn't played very well in, and yet he never gets taken off. It's always other players. How on earth should that be the case? Harry Kane is a very good player, but he isn't Lionel Messi, he isn't Cristiano Ronaldo, and those are probably the only two in world football that you would justify kind of never taking off if you need to. And I just don't get why Harry Kane never seems to get taken off. Should Tammy Abraham start over Harry Kane tonight? It's an interesting one. Tammy Abraham is arguably in better form than Harry Kane, and if you're going to make all these other changes because players didn't play well on Friday night, well, Harry Kane could be one of them. So should the big question I want to ask today, should Tammy Abraham start ahead of Harry Kane tonight in Sofia? Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're going to be turning our attention back to club football and we're going to be talking all things Liverpool next. Love Sport. This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be turning our attention to all things Liverpool now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Jonathan Higgins, sports broadcaster and journalist. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jonathan. Liverpool, after 8 games of the season, 8 wins in a row, 17 dating back to last season. Obviously, there was the one defeat in the Champions League to Napoli, but Jurgen Klopp couldn't be happier at this moment in time, could he?
No, not in the slightest. And, you know, it's the perfect start of the season for Liverpool, particularly from a domestic front, as you described. And it seems like week after week, this Liverpool team are breaking more and more stats. It's almost like every week we hear a new stat. The record goes on and on and on, and it's smashing. Even a club as big and as historical as Liverpool, they still seem to be making more and more records every week, which is just really indicative, really, of how strong of a squad that he has and just how good form it's crazy. It's crazy. You almost have to take a step back and realize just how good that form is. It's the perfect start, and Jurgen Klopp has the luxury of really putting his feet over the international break and just really keeping an eye out for his players and hoping that they all come back in one piece. Because as good as the start of the season has been, and as pleasing it has been for every Liverpool supporter and everyone involved in the club, Sunday's game away at Old Trafford is going to be the real litmus test, really. It's where the real statement will be, really, is that game. Can Liverpool go on? And although Liverpool have a decent enough record against United in recent times, it's still the one little down mark of last season is not taken. It felt like a missed opportunity not getting that win at Old Trafford at the time. I know the game was kind of pretty much changed on its head, really, with the early Firmino injury at the time. And I think if Jurgen Klopp had his way back, he'd have made a different substitution. He brought Sturridge on really early. Didn't really work. It was kind of the beginning of the end then for Sturridge. We saw how much Divock Origi came on to really take off in the Champions League. But you can't help but wonder what would have been different if that substitution had gone a little bit differently. But yes, to go back to the weekend, it is a big, big statement. And as a Liverpool fan growing up watching Liverpool in the 90s, despite the polar opposites of form for both sets of teams and the polar opposite in terms of morale and everything involved in the club, like, you literally couldn't get more black or white, really, here. It's the definition of chalk and cheese between both the clubs are set up. It still has a little part of me is going, ooh, this could be a little difficult. Is this the game where the bounce is going to happen? But, you know, that's not really, you know, it's not really discussing or really looking at it from a logical point. That's kind of more from scars from previous years. But, very exciting. And it will be a big test. It's always a little challenge, these games. A lot of players with the international duty and the way there's the second round of international duty midweek as well is going to have a big impact. So we'll have to see. We'll have to pray that everyone comes back and is all good. And then for Sunday afternoon.
So Liverpool will be looking to equal Manchester City's record of 18 consecutive wins in the top flight. Will that serve as an inspiration and motivation for Manchester United on Sunday to deny Liverpool equaling that record? Or do you think there will be kind of a fear factor from Manchester United fans of this Liverpool side coming, considering the situation United are in compared to the progress and the situation that Liverpool are in?
I don't think the problems, this isn't being disrespectful, I think United have bigger problems at their own rather than worrying about Liverpool matching records. I think if you're looking at this game from a United point of view, you need that bounce, you need that reaction of the enemy coming to town and hoping that it's the one game where you kind of put all your troubles to one side and you try and at least roll up the sleeves and put a bit of effort in and try and get that bit of reaction, because they're in dire straits at the moment. They do need that reaction. It may be in a weird way it's a good game for Solskjaer and United. He's under a lot of pressure at the moment. If you look at this from a sensible football point of view, they don't really have a chance. If you go away on current form, they shouldn't have a chance, but we all know football is completely different. So in a weird way, the pressure might be off a little bit. That being said, he will know his days are numbered. We saw how the defeat at Anfield kind of triggered the end of the Jose Mourinho era. United fans have been quite supportive of Solskjaer, despite the current bad form. It's gone on an extended run now. I'm not sure how much more appealing they will be towards him if there was a big turn of the books and Liverpool went on to score a couple of goals and really put the squeeze on at the weekend. It's such a strange game to try and analyse or preview, because if you go by what current on form, it's a no-brainer, but you have to take in all the other factors into place. And at the end of the day, this is Liverpool versus United. We've seen poor Liverpool teams go to the likes of Old Trafford when United were miles about a team and Liverpool were a bit of a shambles, but they still got some very good results there and they got some big wins over here. So sometimes football has that flip edge, but we'll have to see how it goes. To answer your question, I think United just have a lot more to focus on themselves rather than looking at Liverpool records. Don't get me wrong, they'll want to end it, but they have to focus on themselves here big time, I think.
One man that's set to make a return to the Liverpool side on Sunday is that of Alisson. Obviously, he was injured in the first game of the Premier League season against Norwich. It threw Adrian in, who's done a good job, actually. He's done really well considering how late he joined Liverpool in the summer. But how big a boost will this be? It does feel like Alisson has been gradually eased back in, not rushed it back in because of the form of Adrian and how kind of happy, even despite that form that Adrian has shown over the last couple of months, how delighted will Jurgen Klopp be to have the best goalkeeper in the world back on Sunday?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. It's indicative of really how good form Adrian has settled into the Liverpool setup. And as you said, the best goalkeeper in the world. It's almost a bit surreal. Like, Liverpool have gone on to win all their league games without the best goalkeeper in the world. It's almost a bit surreal. You take that goalkeeper away from Liverpool teams. Only a couple of, even I would argue, as far as last season, where things would have been a hell of a lot of different. It's really, really speaks volumes of how he is settling. That being said, I do believe now is the time. We've seen kind of little moments of where the Liverpool's play has been slightly, I think, restricted. I think the number of kind of passes back to the keeper has been a bit more. Liverpool defenders have been a little bit more reserved in the fact that you look at the stats and there's been less and less passes back just because, let's face it, nobody's a good, I don't think there's a better goalkeeper at their feet. Than what we have at the moment, and to come back. So it's been that little play where Liverpool's play has been slightly distorted. I think the Leicester goal, I think that needs to be saved as well. So it's a couple of moments where you kind of need to get him back in the play. But he will go back now in confidence. He's there ready to be called for. I'm sure he'll get a couple of options in the cups. But it is the statement now. Get your number one goalkeeper back and really push on, because this next set of fixtures between the end of this international break and the next international break is absolutely critical for Liverpool's league performance this season. Some big, big games in there. This next block of games is so crucial. It really, really is.
It is a big fixture list for Liverpool. They've got league games against Manchester United and Tottenham, Champions League back-to-back games against Genk and also Arsenal in the League Cup. At centre-back, Jonathan, John Matic will be hoping to get back to full fitness. He missed the last couple of games before the international break. He's been in fine form for Liverpool for the last 6-8 months, really, since the turn of the year. How keen will Jurgen Klopp be to bring him back into contention for Sunday? And then another of the centre-backs, Joe Gomez. Would Klopp have liked to have seen Gomez be given some good game time by England during this break?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because usually you're a little bit more selfish when you see Liverpool players on international duty. You almost want them just to get some break because you want to reserve their game time for the Red of Liverpool. But in a weird way, I think it would have been beneficial if Gomez has or will get more game time for England, particularly where his numbers or minutes are less and less for Liverpool as things stand. And we saw the little bit of kind of the rusty nature of his game when he was reintroduced to the team. And then even as a result, what speaks volumes even more was the fact that then Lovren went on to replace him in the next game. That kind of shows for me where Klopp just isn't really ready to trust him just yet. And he isn't fully back to his best form. We know his best form is quite exceptional, but he's not quite there yet at the moment. So yeah, it would be, in a strange way, it's almost the roles reverse where you kind of want him to get some game time. I think for United, if Joel has his injury cover concerns put to one side, he starts and Liverpool go back to the first choice back five, really, and you know, settle into the game, because that has been it's interesting to know that. And again, I think we touched on the last time we spoke as well, where all of a sudden now people outside the club are now realizing just how good form he has been and how long he's been in such good form, and he's starting to get appreciated for that. We've seen, it's like you often see with players, you only realize just how good they are when they're taken out of the team. And you've definitely noticed nothing too concerning, but you have noticed the difference in the team when he hasn't been there. His absence in the team has been kind of highlighted to a certain extent. So it would be great to get him back. And it would be a great, you know, you spoke about that big set of games and that block of games. It'd be so good just to start that with the first choice back five and really, really rank up the pressure and try and keep this big run continuing.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Jonathan. That was Jonathan Higgins, sports broadcaster and journalist, talking all things Liverpool. Massive game for the Reds on Sunday. It is Liverpool versus Manchester United at Old Trafford. Liverpool looking to go joint level with Manchester City in terms of top flight consecutive wins. Liverpool currently on 17 dating back into last season, 8 this season, 9 at the end of last. And if they win on Sunday, They will go joint level with Manchester City from, I think, 2011 was the year that Manchester City went 18 straight wins. So can Liverpool draw level with Manchester City in terms of consecutive top flight wins on Sunday with a win at Old Trafford against Manchester United? Should be a great game on Super Sunday. If you've got any views on that, how you think that game is going to unfold, could that spell the end if Manchester United were to lose to Liverpool? Could it spell the end for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Old Trafford? Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We'll be reacting to more some of the international football from last night next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to look back at some of the international football from yesterday. And Scotland, they've been in a pretty dire situation, not just in football, but also rugby as well, as we'll talk about in the next hour, as Scotland are out of the Rugby World Cup. Anyway, Scotland have been... It's been a pretty dismal few years, really, for the Scottish footballing nation. But they did get back to winning ways. Maybe not surprising, considering they were playing San Marino, but you can only play what's put in front of you, as the old cliche goes. And Scotland did get a win. They won 6-0 against San Marino. John McGinn scored a hat-trick. And as I said, it's been a pretty dismal time. And Scotland captain Andrew Robertson was reacting to this awful run after yesterday's game. And he admitted it was important to end a run of 4 straight defeats in style.
It's a performance that we needed, because it's a performance now that we can hopefully build on, and we'll come against tougher opponents. But it's all about the confidence, because the squad's been hit quite a bit.
So a comfortable win for Scotland. Obviously, qualification is pretty much out of their hands, although they do have the playoffs through the Nations League. So all hope is not lost for Scotland. In the other games in that group, Belgium won 2-0 away at Kazakhstan, and it finished Cyprus 0, Russia 5. In Group E, Wales were taking on Croatia. They drew 1-1 in a quite feisty game. There were 8 yellow cards in the game. It ended 1-1. Gareth Bale scored for Wales, although he did go off injured, as did Luka Modric for Croatia, so concerns for Real Madrid. The big incident from the game was surrounding Daniel James. He was on the ground for quite a while with what looked like quite a serious head injury. Now, he did continue on, and after the game, Wales manager Ryan Giggs said that Daniel James was being streetwise by staying on the floor while recovering from the head knock.
Not to get anyone sent off, but just, you know, using his nous. And like I said, at half-time, did all the concussion tests, and it was fine.
When you watch it back and you watch or see Daniel James on the ground, you do wonder what exactly has happened. Now, I'm a big advocate of player safety. It doesn't matter what sport it is, whether it's football, whether it's rugby, whether it's cricket. I think in rugby, it's been taken more and more seriously. For me, the fact of the matter is that if you go down with a concussion or a head knock, I think you should personally just be taken off, and there should be not even an argument, that there shouldn't even be a consideration of whether a player should stay on. If you've been knocked out cold or you've got some sort of head injury, you should just be taken straight off, taken into the dressing rooms, go and be checked, but not even be allowed to come back on. And there are some serious questions that are going to be asked, because I know that the Headway charity have been kind of a little bit concerned that if Daniel James didn't really have a head injury, then that's a bit of a joke, because it's not taking the mickey, but it devalues something like this. And we should be taking it very seriously, because we're not just talking about players in the short term, we're talking about long term, that we don't want these type of people kind of being hampered by these type of brain injuries in 20 years' time. So it needs to be taken very, very seriously. And if Daniel James did have a concussion, now Ryan Giggs said that he passed all the concussion tests, but that perhaps some serious repercussions could happen, because it did look quite bad at the time. But Wales said he was fine, and you have to, I suppose, trust the medical staff and their assessments. But Wales drew 1-1 against Croatia. The other game in that group, Hungary won Azerbaijan. Now in Group C, the group with Northern Ireland, Belarus won the Netherlands 2. Jorginho Wijnaldum of Liverpool scored both goals. And then in the other game, Estonia 0, Germany 3, despite the Germans being down to 10 men for most of the game. Emre Can was sent off in the 14th minute. Germany did ease to a very easy win. In Group G, Poland 2, North Macedonia 0, and Slovenia 0, Austria 1. There are lots of other games happening tonight other than the Bulgaria-England game. Kosovo take on Montenegro in the other game in the group. Lithuania play Serbia. Ukraine play Portugal. And Cristiano Ronaldo, if he scores tonight, it will be his 700th career goal. Mind-boggling, those types of statistics. And you think Cristiano Ronaldo's still got a long way, a lot of kind of games in him still to come. France host Turkey, Iceland play Andorra, Moldova take on Albania. Those are all 7:45 kickoffs in Euro qualifying. Obviously, England in action against Bulgaria in Sofia tonight.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp if you want to get in contact with us. Talking about England's game in Sofia tonight, what type of 11 will Gareth Southgate go with? Who would you pick? Would you go with Tammy Abraham up front instead of Harry Kane? Do you think changing Jadon Sancho for Marcus Rashford is the right decision? Is Tyrone Mings the right man to come in at centre-back? Lots of questions. Obviously, Michael Keane shouldn't be anywhere near this England side. He is going to be dropped tonight. The choice then between three other centre-backs in this squad of Tyrone Mings of Aston Villa, who's going to make his debut tonight. He is the one that's being selected. Fikayo Tomori, who's just earned a call-up. And Joe Gomez. Now, I know Joe Gomez hasn't had a huge amount of game time and hasn't played week in, week out in the first couple of months of this season, but him and Harry Maguire are by far England's best two centre-backs. There isn't even a debate to be had there. So it seems strange that Joe Gomez isn't going to start in either of those two games, but it's a great opportunity. That's how you got to see it if you're Tyrone Mings tonight. Gets the start, and it wasn't that long ago that he was playing in the Championship on loan at Villa, and now he's moved there permanently and is going to start for England tonight. Another WhatsApp into us. Rob from Suffolk has said he's happy for Mings, but where is Tarkowski in this squad? His form for Burnley has been phenomenal. It was something I said about Fikayo Tomori, that because he's playing for Chelsea, I feel that's played a huge part in him earning this call-up. He's been playing quite well at the start of this season, in the first eight games of the season. He hasn't been playing unbelievably well, where you kind of force your way in, but I just feel like if he played for a team kind of mid-table, kind of a 10th, 11th place side, Fikayo Tomori, I can guarantee you, would not be in this England squad. And it does kind of feel like with that comment from Rob about James Tarkowski, he's had two or three consecutive years of good football at Burnley, if anything. It's definitely the case that Burnley got the right deal when they sold Michael Keane for £30 million to Everton, and they kept Ben Mee. And then they promoted James Tarkowski, that it's worked out perfectly for them. Now, when kind of fees, transfer fees were being banded around the summer of Tarkowski being worth over 50 million, he's not. But he has been a consistent performer now in the Premier League for the last couple of years. And so I do kind of feel like if James Tarkowski was in the Chelsea team and Fikayo Tomori was in the Burnley team, I guarantee you James Tarkowski would be in the England squad and Fikayo Tomori isn't. Now, Tomori might go on to become a really good player. And England would be all the better for that if Fikayo Tomori became a world-class centre-back. He's had a solid start to the season, but it's this situation with Aaron Wan-Bissaka as well, that Wan-Bissaka had a great year with Crystal Palace last season, and in my opinion, I think he's the second-best right-back in England, or English right-back, behind Trent Alexander-Arnold. For me, he's ahead of Kieran Trippier and Kyle Walker now. But it was a case of he wasn't picked in the England squad last season. Suddenly, he plays four games for Manchester United. And in the first international break, he's then called into the England squad. Now, he had to pull out because of a back injury. But it's still that same point that Gareth Southgate has maintained throughout his tenure so far as England coach, that he doesn't just pick players based on who they play for. And he said that we've come a long way away from that. Now, there are some examples of that. But at the same time, I just feel like he's still picking some players, certain players, based on who they play for. Now, you go back over the years, players like Tom Cleverley were great examples of players that continuously were picked based on the fact that he played for Manchester United. But I still feel like there's a little bit of this, that players are still being picked based on who they play for. And I think Fikayo Tomori is an example of that. As I said, if he played for Crystal Palace, I don't think he would be in this current England squad. But because he plays for Chelsea, there's still this view that players are getting in there. I think Jesse Lingard's another example. How on earth he's been getting into these England squads the last couple of years when his form has been terrible? Who knows? Another WhatsApp, Sean from Wolverhampton, says, disgraceful that Sancho is losing his place. Barely contributed to the game on Friday, but what has Rashford done in the last season and a half which justifies his inclusion? And I think Sean makes a really good point there that, yes, Jadon Sancho didn't play well on Friday night. I don't think anyone would suggest that he did. However, number one, no one played well for England on Friday night. And two, does Marcus Rashford's form merit taking a place over Jadon Sancho? Most definitely it doesn't. I don't think Rashford looks fit at the moment. And his form isn't particularly good either. You look back to last season, Rashford had, like the Manchester United side, peaks and troughs last season. Did really well just after Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took over, like the likes of Paul Pogba. But his numbers aren't particularly good, and the kind of debate rages on as to where Marcus Rashford's best position is. But it's just another, it's a knee-jerk reaction. I think this rumour change, now we don't know for a fact, we can't sit here and say definitively that Marcus Rashford is going to start ahead of Jadon Sancho tonight. But I just don't really get why Rashford should be starting ahead of Jadon Sancho tonight. What has he done over the last actually the last season and a bit, to merit being in the side ahead of Jadon Sancho, who's arguably the most exciting player at his age in world football? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. We've got another WhatsApp in from Stell, who says, Rashford doesn't deserve a place in the squad, let alone the starting lineup. So a pretty drastic, pretty passionate call there for Marcus Rashford to not even be in the England squad. I wouldn't quite go so far as that. I think Marcus Rashford should be in the England squad, but he shouldn't be in this England starting lineup, especially when you've got the players that England have got ahead of him. He shouldn't be getting in this team ahead of Jadon Sancho, who's had a fantastic last couple of years and he's had a fantastic start to the new season. So I don't really see how you can justify picking Marcus Rashford ahead of Jadon Sancho. Yes, Sancho didn't play particularly well on Friday night in Prague, but I don't really get why Rashford should be starting ahead of Sancho at this moment in time. Thankfully, in another position, Danny Rose is suspended. Great news that, because it forces Gareth Southgate to make the change. Who out there genuinely believes that Danny Rose is a better left-back than Ben Chilwell at this moment in time? Danny Rose, a couple of years ago, was playing brilliantly. Him and Kyle Walker were England's best two fullbacks 2 or 3 years ago. But that's the key part of that phrase. They are not anymore. But plenty of changes are expected in Sofia tonight for England against Bulgaria. A bit of news that we'll bring you more of in the next hour. We'll be talking to Nicholas Tunney from the Reading Chronicle about this news. Breaking news this afternoon is that Reading have appointed sporting director Mark Bowen as their new manager to replace José Gomes. He was previously assistant at Stoke, Southampton and a host of London clubs, and was assistant at Wales from 1999 to 2004. So that's the news, that Reading have appointed sporting director Mark Bowen as their new manager. José Gomes was sacked last week. So, as I mentioned, England take on Bulgaria in Sofia tonight. Plenty of changes. Tyrone Mings set to make his debut against Bulgaria. The two fullbacks are going to change. Alexander-Arnold and Chilwell in for Trippier and Rose. Harry Winks and Ross Barkley could come into England's midfield tonight. And Marcus Rashford is expected to start ahead of Jadon Sancho. Any views on that? Call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be talking all things Aston Villa next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, and one man that has got in contact with us via WhatsApp is Stell again. He talks to us about how Rashford doesn't deserve a place in the squad, let alone the starting lineup. He also says, Rashford isn't a natural striker, and I believe his best position is out wide. England have better players who can play in that position. Players like Rashford are in the manager's favourites club, footballers who can do no wrong despite being out of form or simply not good enough. Same applies for Lingard, Keane, etc. I think Stell's absolutely bang on with all those points. I don't think Rashford is a number nine. He's not going to score you 30 goals in a season. I think he's more natural out wide, but the kind of debate rages on as to what his best position is. And also, there is this situation where players have to go through a long period of time in bad form to get dropped. Jesse Lingard, case in point, took a long while for him to be dropped despite the form for Manchester United and Ingham being pretty terrible. As I said, if you want to get in contact with us like Stel, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us this afternoon. We're going to be talking about Aston Villa now, and obviously Tyrone Mings is set to make his debut for England tonight. It was a good night for one of his teammates, John McGinn, who scored a hat-trick against Scotland earlier on The Breakfast Show with Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's between 6.30 and 10am. They were joined by Johnny Gould from Villa Supporters Trust, and they started by asking him how happy how happy Aston Villa fans are that Tyrone Mings has been given this chance for England.
Well, it was a popular choice when, during the defeat at Czech Republic, I tweeted that Mings would be a preferable choice to Keane, not player for player, but certainly in the starting 11. It got 440 likes, and that wasn't just from Villa fans, that was from England fans as well. So the kind of pressure on Gareth Southgate to mix it up at the back is there to be seen. Yes, he is an assured figure. Mings plays with that little bit of extra time on the ball that a quality player seems to have. And he has emerged from, you know, a serious injury at Bournemouth to a fantastic season in the Championship at Aston Villa. And now in the Premier League, after a few games, he's really acclimatizing back to the top flight where, frankly, he belongs. I think his England debut is there on merit, and I wish him all the very best tonight. It'll be a great opportunity and platform, not least because we can qualify.
Yeah, indeed. Just want to touch on McGinn as well. Of course, another player you know all about. Scored a hat-trick for Scotland last night. Quite a comfortable victory for them against San Marino. Top player, McGinn?
McGinn was a top player at Hibs. They won the Scottish Cup for the first time in 111 years, didn't they? And he was the final and real deal. Arguably the best SPL player of Scottish origin. And so much so that the future treble winner Celtic were about to sign him, and that would have been the logical move from Hibs to Celtic in a league that he understood, trophies every 6 months for Celtic. But he actually took a tough road down south to a big club in the wrong division. Now Villa might have been in the wrong division for a number of years to come, like Leeds, like Sheffield Wednesday, like Ipswich, who've even gone further down, Forest, etc. But that gamble really paid off in spades. He loves his football, and as I've said in previous interviews here, he is our best player. There is no challenge that this young man is up to, and he can deliver for Scotland. He will be their star player. I don't think there's a problem with Aston Villa losing him in any January transfer window, because I think football projects around the country like Manchester United or Tottenham are less appealing than the ascendant Aston Villa.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I know Sir Alex Ferguson has mentioned his name a couple of times and seems to be quite forcefully pushing for his case to become a Manchester United player. And do you actually think that it might be less appealing, essentially, for him to go and play alongside the likes of, you know, Harry Maguire and Daniel James and Marcus Rashford than it would be to stay at Villa?
You know what? If Ferguson was still manager of Manchester United, I would be ready to lose him. And it would be a Dwight York situation. It would be an Ashley Young situation. And he would eventually get his way and bully players out of those clubs. He did it at Villa many times. He did it at Spurs as well with Michael Carrick. But they ain't got anyone like that now. And you can see how Manchester United are declining and, you know, really fast with Fergie not willing to be the director of football, as he kind of proxy was at the beginning of the Solskjaer reign. It's all over at Manchester United. The flags are going down. Why on earth would McGinn leave Villa for Manchester United when it is possible that Villa will be replacing United near the top of the Premier League in the next few years?
I love your positivity, and actually,
you're very much glass half full. No, aren't you? Either glass half full, or you've been drinking from it quite heavily.
Do you know what though? Yes. I know we spoke before, and look, for what it's worth, I remember it wasn't that long ago that Villa were there or thereabouts. In fact, at the start of Sir Alex's reign, it was very much United and Villa for that period of time. Yeah, and in terms of size of the club and the fact that they're now heading in the right direction, of course, this season will be reintroduce themselves back in the Premier League, but they do have certain players. One of those players, of course, is Jack Grealish. I want to bring this then back to England with Maddison, the issues that he's currently got going on, not quite happening for Mason Mount the other day. Is it finally time for Jack Grealish to be a regular in the England team?
I would love to see Jack buckle down at Villa, first of all, and prove once again to national football fans that he is a Premier League footballer. You know, we've had some issues before the Norwich game where we were losing games at the end, we were running out of huff and puff, and Jack wasn't quite performing. But I started to see the Jack Grealish that we remembered as a teenage Premier League star at Arsenal. Just that little bit of cocky movement, you know, dribbling, having a go at the Arsenal defenders towards the end of the game. And, you know, certainly in his passing and movement against Norwich, we saw the best of Jack Grealish. So what I would like to see is Jack being, you know, called for, cried for creativity. Not this time round, but maybe in the next set of games, having played another half dozen games for Villa in the Premier League. He's finding his way once again. It's an acclimatisation. If you've got the Emil Heskey book, his autobiography about his career, he said that during his time, the England squad was made up of two cliques, Manchester United and Aston Villa. And he refers to, obviously, himself, Gareth Barry, James Milner, you know, players who were Villa boys, you know, back in that day. And, you know, we did have a very good squad, Ashley Young as well. But what I'm loving about this Premier League weekend of laps and enjoying the international football is that actually Villa stars are now beginning to figure in international football again. And boy, oh boy, this time last year when we were huffing and puffing with defeats at, I don't know, Burton on a wet Wednesday and all this kind of thing, this is a marvellous moment for Aston Villa, because it is a tachometer, it is a clapometer meter of Aston Villa's, I've just made up a word, don't sack me.
I'm so glad it was made up, because I had me questioning myself there. You did. And I've got to ask you, look, again, I love your passion. You spoke a bit about Man United. Here's the question then. Do Villa finish above Manchester United this season?
No, not this season, but next season.
Okay, interesting. So what's the aim for this season, realistically, Aston Villa?
Yeah, we can't. I mean, with Maguire and Pogba and Rashford, you know, they've got better players than us for now, you know, and they've got a more settled Premier League side. I mean, goodness me, they've got a 25-year head start on us. Mm. But, you know, listen, there's no challenge that I don't think we're equal to. And, you know, we might knock a block off. You know, after Brighton at home this weekend, we've then got Manchester City and Liverpool. Who says we're going to get 0 points out of those two games? Who says so? I'm not. We might do something at one of those games. Norwich did against City. Why not?
Do you know what? We're definitely getting you on after both of those games.
Oh, 100%.
If you've got 0 points for those two games, we've just recorded that little bit of audio. We're going to play that again.
So that was Johnny Gould from Villa's Supporters Trust, who joined Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's on Love Sport Breakfast. Remember, you can catch the breakfast show every weekday morning from 6:30 until 10 a.m. Obviously, talking a little bit about Tyrone Mings, who is set to make his debut for England tonight in Sofia as Gareth Southgate plans to make plenty of changes. Changes at fullback, one in force. Danny Rose is suspended, thankfully, and Ben Chilwell will come in for him. Trent Alexander-Arnold is set to replace Kieran Trippier at right back. Tyrone Mings will come in at centre back alongside Harry Maguire in the place of Michael Keane. Two changes in midfield. Declan Rice has been struggling with a bit of an illness, so Harry Winks will come in. And Ross Barkley, strangely, is going to come in ahead of Mason Mount, who is starting ahead of him for Chelsea at club level. And up front, as we've been talking about, Marcus Rashford is set to replace Jadon Sancho, who didn't have a great game on Friday, but has been phenomenal this season and the last couple of years. Marcus Rashford's form, on the other hand, has been very, very poor. So that's England's game tonight against Bulgaria. That's in Sofia, 7:45 kickoff. England lost their first qualifier in 10 years on Friday night. How will they react tonight as Gareth Southgate does make plenty of changes for that game against Bulgaria? That's a 7:45 kickoff tonight in Sofia.
Love Sport.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.